Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. Today, I want to tell you that we're listening to a show that you're not going to hear in any probably way, shape, or form in Christian media today. I speak about issues having to do with your real life in Christ. And that is not about performance-based religion. It is not about what you have to do for God in order for God to do for you. It's not about a list of rules or commandments. It's about radical grace and how God meets us exactly where we're at every second of every day. Exactly as we are. Today, we're leaving Texas. This is my last day in Texas, our last day in Texas. And I'm broadcasting today from the cab of my U-Haul truck. We're getting ready for a new beginning. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, which is one of my favorite verses in Isaiah, says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder on the things of the past, for behold, I will do something new, and now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it?" So God is always doing something new. He's always doing something new, and he's always doing something now, because God only moves in the now. And so those two are addressed right in that verse in Isaiah. And in fact, in one of the versions, I think it's a New American Standard, they're right next to each other. I will do something new now. So God is doing something new now in every single believer. But if you're looking for something else other than seeing Christ with the single eye, according to, as it states in Matthew 6, 22 to 24, where Jesus said, if your eye is single, it's full of light, but if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. You cannot interpret the words of the Bible according to performance or behavior. It doesn't work because it contradicts itself. People say the Bible contradicts itself. The only way the Bible contradicts itself is if it's interpreted wrong. I mean, if you start out going north, the only way you go south is to turn around. And so that turning around is the word repentance. It means to turn around and go another way. And so today, I would say that most of the body of Christ, what they believe, probably need to repent of what they believe to be true about God and about themselves, and let God take them in the direction where he is. And so this new thing God is doing, what is it? Well, today you're struggling. Okay, you're struggling with maybe a lost job, or maybe you're sick. Maybe you have a debilitating illness. Maybe you know somebody who does, and you're close to somebody who does. Maybe there's relationship breakdowns of one kind or another. We're human beings, okay? We're human beings, and we live in weakness. Every one of us deal with something. You can make the veneer of your life look however you want it to look. But the human struggle is true for all of humanity. No temptation has seized you that isn't common to all men. And as sure as sparks fly upward, it says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs, man is born to trouble. And the last time I saw a fire, the sparks were flying upward. So what is it that you're dealing with today? And what is the new thing God is doing? When you go back to that verse in Matthew, and it says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. Full of light is one. We're only seeing light. We're not seeing darkness. All you're seeing is light. And somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember who said it, I think it was Paul, said, we are light in the Lord. We don't have light. We don't give light. We don't distribute light. We are light in the Lord. So think of yourself as a lamp. And the lamp is the container of the light. And so if your eye is single, you're seeing only one thing that's full of light. Because God designed the human being to see only one thing at one time. Try to focus on two things at one time. Your eyes cannot do it. Your eyes will focus on one thing, and then whatever you're looking at far or near won't be in focus. That is exactly the way God ordained us to walk our Christian life, was in that same exact way. If your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. But why would God use, why would Jesus use the word evil and not double? Because when I first saw this, and I saw, and my eyes were open to this, it changed my whole way of seeing God. And so if your eye is single, it's full of light. If your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. Why not double? Because double is the opposite of single. Because evil, the real definition of evil, according to Jesus, is duality. The real definition of anything that is evil is not behavior or performance. It is seeing more than God at any given time. Because that is what causes us to walk in that place of confusion with every evil work that James talks about in James 3:16. So if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. Then it goes on to say in Matthew 6:23, and if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So what Jesus is saying is what you're calling light is really darkness. And because you're calling it light, it's darker than you can ever imagine. That's exactly what he's saying in that verse in 6:20. Then if you don't believe me about the word evil, and you're not grasping this about duality and division and separation, look at Matthew 6:24. Because it says, no one can serve two masters. Now the church that is focused on money has taken that wonderful verse and made it into a money verse because it has the word mammon in it. And if you Wikipedia the word mammon, you will see that mammon is a god of avarice, a god of lust, of self, of me. It's the god of me. And so no one can serve God and serve his own lust. I'm not talking sexual lust. I'm talking the lust of the flesh, which is anything that causes us to see more than God at any given time. This is the reason today. This is what I believe why the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear. Men's hearts will fail them for fear because fear has to do with torment. And perfect love drives out. Fear has to do with torment. The tormentor was the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. The tormentor was the one who said, if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God and you will know good and evil. Well, it's not the good and evil, the good / evil, that is the problem. It's the and. The and is what the deceiver wanted to Adam to see. He wanted to see God and for the first time. He wanted to see God and the possibilities of independent Adam going his own way. And that was the deception. That was the lie. because his eyes were opened. But he did know. He did know good and evil. He just didn't know what to do with it because he wasn't God. And so humanity is in the state it's in today. And Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and cling to the other, or you'll despise and love the other. You cannot serve God and. Forget about mammon. Whatever that is that you're serving besides God in there. Is it selfish ambition? Is it God and ministry? Is it God and your Bible? Is it God and the tithe? Is it God and the second coming of Jesus Christ? Is it God and the rapture? Is it God and the organization of systemized religion? Or is it God, period? You can go on believing your light is light for as long as you want. And God will allow you to do that until you wear yourself out. Because that's the story of Job. That's the story of the prodigal son. Is them believing that their whatever they were running after was their light. And God let them wear out until they saw the only light was God. For the prodigal son, the only light was his father, who he thought was darkness. And for Job, the only light was God, and not his standing among men. And so, today, who is it you're serving? That's what God is saying to us every second of every day. Whatever trial you're going through right now, God is saying, are you focused on me alone? And guess what? You can't even focus on God in your own strength. All you can do is yield to the Spirit of God, who will be focusing on Jesus Christ, because the Spirit only focuses on Jesus Christ and nothing else. So if you're walking yielded to the Spirit of God right now, and let me tell you how easy that is. Back in 2004, after Linda and I were married, my kids were in Florida when I was in California. I had left Florida because I'd gone back to drinking after 18 years of sobriety, and I was drinking myself to death. And an opportunity came up for me to go to California, and I did. And I was living on $100 a week on child support, because I had five kids that I paid child support on. And the opportunity came so I could go there and work at a higher paying job, and I did. And I didn't know I was going to stay out there as long as I did. And while that happened, my ex-wife married a manipulating, womanizing, and this guy was living under the same roof as my small kids, especially my three small daughters, my three younger daughters. And one morning I woke up in a panic, and I screamed out the words, my kids. And the Spirit of God checked me, and he said, whose kids? And for the previous 20 years, he'd been showing me three separate things about the attributes of who he is. And it was all about these three words, release, rest, and receive. And so when I woke up in that panic attack, God took those three words and he said to me, release your children to me. Right here and right now. Look what I've done with you through the chaotic life that I've taken you from everything that you've gone through. How many times should you have died in your life from one thing or another? And just release your children to me right now. And rest. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 to 4, 11 talks about a rest that comes from God. Matthew, I think it's 10:28 or 11:20, I think it's 10:28, talks about, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God. That's not talking about sleep or physical respite. That's talking about a rest for your soul. So he said, release your children to me and rest. What I've been showing you about rest for the last 20 years, rest in my perfect love for you, my unconditional perfect love for you. And then receive. Wait to receive the next thing. And whatever it is that crosses your path from now on is coming from my hand. Good God. And whatever it is according to my plan, not yours. Jeremiah 29:11, the Christian, the verse that so many quote because they want that plan to be their plan. That's really the reason they quote it. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you hope in the future. So God is not interested in harming us, even though you're sitting there right now and you don't have, and your electric is shut off, or you're sitting there right now and you're losing your house, or you've lost your third job, or something is going on relationally, or something is going on medically or physically. And what we do, because we've been steeped in infant Christianity for our lives, and there are infant Christians sitting in the pews that have been there for 20, 30, and 40 years that don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. They don't know who God is, and they don't know who they are. Because they've never embraced the message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. Saved, currently saved. Not just saved one time, but preserved by the message of the cross. To us who look to nothing but the message of the cross, which is foolishness to the ones who are still trying to live independent of the one who is their life. It's like the branch being suspended out in midair next to the tree and still receiving its life from that same tree. How is that possible? Yet that's the way most of Christianity lives today. Helping God, working for God, doing something with God. They don't see themselves as part of the vine branch union that John 15:5 says that's who we are. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you. That's what he says. I abide in you, in Christ. There is no separated God. There is no God up there in heaven. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend, he said, it's expedient for me to go to the Father because then I'm going to send the Comforter. He is going to come and live in you and teach you all things concerning me. That's what the Spirit does. That's why I said earlier, if you're yielded to the Spirit, you're not going anywhere but where the Spirit is taking you. And the Spirit is only going to take you to the cross. That's the only place he can take you. There's no other place he would take you because there's no other place where there's life. There's only life in resurrection life. All other life is temporal. It's an illusion. It's a ghost of what real life is. And if you continue to hold on to your life and you call your life your own, you get to live that illusion, which Paul calls the different gospel in Galatians 1:6-8 and 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. And so the reason for your trial today is all about the single eye. The reason for your sickness is all about the single eye. It's all about you seeing God in the middle of it. Satan is not the author of evil. Job said to his wife in Job chapter 2, and you can look it up, when Job's wife said, curse God and die, which is infant Christianity at its finest, and every one of us have done it, and if you haven't, you will. And Job looks at his wife and says, you speak like one of the foolish women. Well, in Proverbs, the definition of a fool is the fool has believed in his heart that there is no God. So he's saying to his wife, you're speaking as though God isn't in this, woman. Shouldn't we receive good and evil from God? Because God was taking Job into single eye life. And maybe that was the first time Job ever saw only God, only now, in the middle of his circumstances. And the Spirit of God spoke through him to his wife and said, I am the God of all. All things exist in me. I don't make mistakes, Mrs. Job. I have a plan and a purpose here that you cannot see. Because infant Christianity has you looking out to a rapture or a second coming or the next conference or the next book or the next Joel Osteen meeting or the next Joyce Myers meeting. That's what infant Christianity has you doing. So you cannot see with the single eye as you're serving and worshiping them and trying to worship me and calling it God. And in fact, what you're doing is you're trampling underfoot the Son of God. You're counting as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that saved you and sanctified you. And you're an insult to grace, the grace of God that has saved you. That's what you're doing when you're trying to live the Christian life in your own independent strength apart from me. So what's your trial about? Your trial is about you surrendering. Your trial is about you throwing up your hands in the air and boasting in your trial. If I will boast, I'll boast in the things that point to my weakness. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. It's union. I am weak, but Christ in me, who is the I am of my life, is strong. And I no longer live, Christ lives in me. This is Rich in Christ. I'm giving away a 31-day devotional. If you private message me on Facebook and you just give me your name and address, I also have an ebook. If you want the ebook, just give me your email address. And we send it around the world, free and postage paid. And we've done that to our hurt. Because we want people to have what's in this book. Because it's 31 days of readings that will change your life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's everything I'm talking about right here in book form. And if you want a copy of it, just private message me on Facebook, Rich Novick, N-O-V-E-K. We're getting ready to leave Texas today. I'm sitting here in a Sleep Inn hotel parking lot in Weatherford, Texas. And I'm looking out and I'm seeing the Texas flag and the U.S. flag flying together. And looks like some taco place. And we're getting ready to leave. God is doing something new. Texas to me has meant brokenness and loss and pain and suffering like I've never dealt with before in the last seven and a half, almost 8 years. But God is doing something new. And he's rolled death in on everything that I've called life over the last 35 years. And what I'm sharing with you is truth. This is the truth. It resonates in your spirit as truth. You can run from it if you want, but this is the truth. Jesus was a wonderful man, a great teacher, master, rabbi, counselor, until he opened his mouth and said, I and my Father are one. That's what this message is. This is the message that Christ is living his life in and through you and as you. If you just release, rest, and receive, and let him do it. This is Rich in Christ. You know, whatever trial you're dealing with today has been placed there by God. That's hard for us as American Christians to believe, because we've had this healthy and wealthy message crammed down our throats for so long that if we don't think we have a full checkbook, or we don't think that we're walking in perfect health, or we don't think that we're the next, you know, we're not living like Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers or any of these other fakes. That's right, fakes, F-A-K-E-S, fakes, because that's what they are. They're charlatans. They're cheaters. They're deceivers. They're children of darkness, whatever you want to call them. Not by their own volition. They're deceived. They're lost. They don't have a clue. They think what they're living is right. They're walking in that place where they think that they're walking in the light, but they're walking in blackest darkness, and they don't know it because they think that that paycheck and all those accolades and all those sold books are the attaboy from God. And God is just letting lust run rampant. And pray to God that at some point in time their eyes are open to the truth and they lose their life to gain their life. Because they're phonies. They're bought and paid for, just like 99% of the Christians today, the leadership. Bought and paid for by a board of elders that they can't walk without squeaking. They can't do anything. They can't turn to the right or the left. They can't allow the Spirit of God to speak through them unless it's some kind of a message that doesn't, that it has to be a message that tickles the ears, planning or keeping your teenager from going wild or some other garbage that has nothing to do with maturity. The only definition of maturity, the only definition of maturity is embracing the cross, nothing else. The only definition, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. There's no other definition of maturity. I don't care how many frickin' PhDs you have behind your name. You are not a mature believer if you're still walking in a different gospel, mixed message of grace plus performance. You're an infant. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for this last broadcast in Texas. Well, and so I ask, God, that you open the eyes of the people that are listening to this and unstop their ears and let them know the truth of who they are in Christ today. And give you the praise and the glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks. I'll see you next time, broadcasting from California. Till then, God bless.